tonight I want to teach on prophetic intercession. And I just, in my head, I'd imagined that tonight would be a bit same old with prophet, and we'd be doing things just like we do. And I kept feeling a real check in my spirit, and the Lord kept putting prophetic intercession on my heart. And so this is in obedience to what I believe God is saying in this time and this hour. And it's also in line with what the prophets are saying nationally and internationally, that it is a time for war. It is a time for us to press into the secret place. It's a time for us to take up arms, and it's time to hear the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah through us. Okay, so that's really, I'm trying to flow with the prophetic, flowing what I feel Holy Spirit has got his hand on at the moment, and that's why we're going to begin this series. So this week, you've got me, and then in 2 weeks' time, you've got Anne Morrow and myself, and we're going to be looking at some of the prophetic words that have been given over the nation, the nations, and really pushing into prophetic intercession with that. And then the time after that is going to be Nawa sharing about, and I'll be with Nawa as well, but sharing about some of the breakthroughs we have seen with prophetic intercession, the miracles that we've seen and the journeys that we've seen with prophetic intercession. So it is going to be at least a three-part series, and I feel excited about this. I'm going to read just a wee quote from Larry Sparks' Pentecostal Fire, page 318, and it's titled The Lion Has Roared. Hear the sound. God is awakening the prophetic voice in every believer. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain. That's 1 Kings 18:41. Elijah heard the sound of rain before he saw anything. So this is Larry Sparks saying this. I prophesy that in these days of outpouring, the seer and prophetic anointings are going to supernaturally accelerate throughout the body of Christ. I prophesy that all believers are going to begin hearing the sound of rain, the roar of revival outpouring. I recognize that not all Christians occupy the official office of prophet. However, all spirit-filled, born-again followers of Jesus are called to prophesy. Put your hand up if you're in that. Yeah, come on. Come on. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? That's Amos 3:7-8. The Lord is sharing his movement and activity with those with a prophetic ear. The lion has roared. The outpouring that's coming is not tame. It is not timid. It's not containable. It is confrontational and gloriously disruptive. The lion is roaring. Amen. Come on. So, yeah, I hadn't got up to that part in the book when we had our amazing service where it just kept coming about the lion roaring. And then it was like a couple of pages on from where I was reading, and I just about leapt out of my skin with excitement. So in March this year, a number of prophets, I think it was around about 30 of us, prophets and apostles from around the nation and also from Australia came in here, and we had the New Zealand Prophetic Council and the New Zealand Prophetic Roundtable. Now, there was a number of themes that were common. One of the cool things, I mean, there's lots of cool things, but one of the really cool things about this gathering is that we don't compare notes beforehand. We wait on God, we get it down on paper, we submit it, and then we come and we bring those prophetic words that we believe God has said. But we don't compare notes, so we don't know what the others are going to bring until we're there around the table. And then this year, there were these common themes that just kept coming out again and again and again. And if you were at our Behold conference, you would have heard some of those themes just come out again and again. And that, you know, some people think that, oh, well, we won't say that again because it's repeating ourselves. But I go, no, 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 no. That is God getting a highlighter pen and highlighting that thing and saying, listen, 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 have you listened? And he just kept saying again and again. So I just want to bring out a little bit of some of the repeated themes that came out, because we're gonna pick up on this. The next decade will astonish but it requires deeper intimacy, fervent intercession, and unwavering discipline. There is a call to war, a disruptive alignment. Now, I'm going to pause here for a minute. A disruptive alignment. Well, it can be really easy to brush over these words quickly, but what does a disruptive alignment mean to me? What does it mean to my life? If God is coming and he's saying, and I believe he is, that there is a disruptive alignment coming into your life, there's a disruptive alignment coming to the church, that means that the way we did things is going to change. That might mean that my schedule, my weekly schedule, changes. I should think it does. It would mean that our meetings change and that there's disruption. That maybe the amount of times that we gather together to pray changes. And where we used to be on a Monday, and the Holy Spirit saying, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. What does disruptive alignment mean for us? I just want to pause on that for a second. So there's a call to war, a disruptive alignment happening. A powerful prophetic anointing is coming upon intercessors and prayer warriors. There is a strong callback to the secret place. And strategies and wisdom will come out of there. It is time to war in the spirit, to see the move of God ushered in through the gateway nations of New Zealand and Australia. It's time. When we've seen that song, two songs that are really hitting it for me at the moment, the one about the lion roaring and the other one about it's time. And I think we can feel it in the house when we sing those songs, you feel the lift because you're in line. Thank you. We're in line with what the Holy Spirit's saying. So, it's time to call forth awakening and stop pushing the snooze button. Nawa. Step up, wake up, and take your place. Joel 3:9, wake up the mighty men, prepare for war. It's comeback time. Come up higher and wage war from the mountain of the Lord. That's prophetic intercession. Come up higher and wage war. God is saying through the national prophets, it's time to come up higher and wage war. I cannot just go back to same old, and teach you how to prophesy when God is saying it's time to stir up the troops, get your swords in place, get your belt on, get your helmet on, and wage war for me. It's time to wage war for our city, wage war for our nation. Disruptive alignment. Wake up the mighty men, prepare for war. It's comeback time. Come up higher and wage war from the mountain of the Lord. Shake off disillusionment, disappointment, and delay. It's D-Day. There is a national call to stir ourselves, press into God and into his presence, and hear strategies and perspective from heaven. Wage warfare from a higher place. We feel that. That's what God's saying. And that's what we're doing tonight. That's what we're going to be doing. I just want to lay a foundation now. So many of you will know this stuff. I know what I'm about to show you. But I'll tell you, in this season, it is so good to look again at what the Word of God says about warfare. Okay, so we're just going to grab those scriptures up for me. Thank you. The next slide, yeah. So if you want to write down the scriptures, most of you will know these scriptures. You may know them off by heart. But it's so empowering to look at them again. So I'm going to just read out. I'm reading from, I don't expect you to flick backwards and forwards. Christian, just leave it on there. That's great. So the first point is we are in spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. That means we're in warfare. It means it's serious. And it means our weapons are mighty. We haven't been given mighty weapons because it's a walk in the park. Yeah, let's laugh at that, Andrew. But it's true. You're not given mighty weapons just because you're going to go for a walk in the botanical gardens. You're given mighty weapons because you're going to need them. And because you're expected to use them. Maybe, just maybe, the nation is dependent on us using some of our mighty weapons in these days. First Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. We see there that his advice to Timothy is to take your prophecies and wage war with them. Don't just stick them on a shelf. Don't just have them in your laptop. Don't just have them on a piece of paper in your top drawer. But wage war with them. You're actually instructed to wage war with your prophecies. What are the prophecies given for this church? What are the prophecies given for this city? What are the prophecies, have you heard, given for the nation? Are you waging war with them? I believe God is calling us up. It's like he's saying, I need you to be responsible. It's a serious word. Okay, we're called as soldiers to fight and to wrestle. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4 in particular. 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You know, it's just done me good looking at this again. I hope it's going to do you good tonight looking at it again. Because it's serious. When you really have a look at what the word says, you see that we're given warfare weapons, mighty ones, because there's a mighty fight. You are seriously called up. We are seriously called up as soldiers, enlisted. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We know these scriptures. I know you know them. I know them. I know most of them off by heart. But stop and consider about the nature and the manner of warfare that we are called into. We are to tread upon the enemy and his works. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need to get that in our head. As we enter into this time of accelerated spiritual warfare, we need to slap our hands on our heads and go, nothing shall by any means hurt me. And I'm over feeling intimidated by spiritual warfare and demonic things. Nothing. His word says nothing. What does that leave? We're shoring ourselves up. You see, this is part of the belt of truth. This is me getting you. Hang on, it says nothing shall by any means hurt me. And tighten up the belt. Stop being pushed around. Who's ever been pushed around? Come on. This is who we are. This is what we've got. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Shortly, whose feet? Come on, lift your feet up. Look at your feet. We are equipped with armor and weapons. We looked already at 2 Corinthians 10, but just 3 again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Look at Ephesians 6. Particularly, I want to look at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's a day to be able. And able to stand. In the evil, is today an evil day? It's likely that tomorrow will be too. But the Word of God says that we will be able to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, I should take notice of this. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It doesn't get much clearer than that. Our armor is so that we will be well girded up and able to pray for one another. That's how I read that. It's not all about me, it's about us. It's about our city, it's about our nation. It's about our children, it's about our hospitals, it's about our government. That's why we have the spiritual warfare, and that's why we have the weapons. With all, where am I? I'm just trying to find it again. With all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Sometimes I wonder how much perseverance have I had. I'll be honest with you. For all the saints. We are seated in heavenly places. No opposition. Ephesians 1:5. And that, honestly, that whole passage right through, I mean, where do you stop in Ephesians? But anyway, 1 verse 5 through to 2:6 at least. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his good will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Please just take a hold, don't take anything else tonight. Take a hold of the fact that you are a son and you are accepted. But if you can take a hold of the fact that you're a son, you're accepted, you've got powerful weapons, you're called to pray and intercede for each other. Are you taking hold of some of this? Suddenly you actually begin to realize how dangerous you are. That is a very good place to be in, Sally, to realize how dangerous you actually are. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Let's just stop him. Exceeding greatness of his power towards Kimberly, who believes. The exceeding greatness of his power towards Grant, who believes. Towards Sally, who believes. Towards Ken and Margaret, who believe. Exceeding greatness. What does that look like? We can't even picture what does exceeding greatness of power look like. Come on, let's just stop here for a second. This is actually mind-blowing stuff. This is enough stuff in here, enough power in here to actually shift our whole thinking about a whole heap of things, including influenza, including COVID, including financial hoo-ha in the nation. Let's just square our shoulders for a minute and think about what the Word of God actually says about our position, our authority, the power towards us, the weapons of our warfare, and what we've actually got. I hope some of you are feeling a bit more empowered right now than how you were when you came in. Because I tell you what, that's, the Word of God is a sword. And we're just sharpening our sword tonight and having a lot. I really encourage you to just go to these scriptures again after tonight and just start to just stop there. Just stop there and really look at what it says. So, we're raised up in heavenly places. We have authority, Matthew 16:19, and I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. We have authority to do kingdom business with our mighty weapons of warfare, with our armor in place, with the authority of being sons and daughters of the living God. We have got all authority to do kingdom business here now. You know, attitude and position is everything. I love the fact, and I hope you do too, that David ran towards Goliath. He didn't wuss around. Was Goliath a real giant? Yes. This is not a fairy tale. David was a young boy. Goliath was a vicious killing machine. And he ran towards him. He ran towards him with an attitude that was accurate. His attitude was accurate because it was based on who his God was in him. Because he knew of who his God was in him, it actually made him bigger than Goliath. That was the truth. In the spirit, that was the truth. And there's some shifting that is happening even tonight in this room. As you begin to see that, hang on a minute, I'm not the one that's under the foot. I'm the foot treading on the enemy. And you just got to get used to doing a bit of twisting of the ankle, grinding some things into the ground where they belong. Hebrews 4:16, approach the throne boldly. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me. What is our attitude tonight, and how does that link with our position? Understanding who we are in God, what God says about us and what's available to us will totally change the way we pray. It'll totally change the way we intercede. And understanding the days and the times that we're in, what the national prophets are saying, what the Word of God is saying, means that we can stand up in our authority and our position and actually do some damage to the kingdom of darkness instead of feeling pushed around. Okay? That's the day that we're in. Who put your hand up if you found that hard? It's really good to get a feel. Who found that easy? Look, that's wonderful. Lots of hands that found that easy. That's great. And, of course, there's another activation that we use sometimes where we say about what's in a name, and you look to see a person's name, and this is so useful when you're like in a supermarket or somewhere where someone's got a name badge on. Just ask the Holy Spirit what it is about that person's name. It just helps to reveal who they are or how God feels about them. And so names are really, really important. You see all that through Scripture. I'm just going to read another quote for you from Pentecostal Fire. Respond to the sound of rain, your call to prayer and contending. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down to the earth and put his face between his knees. 1 Kings 18:42. We can hear the sound of rain in the spirit. Our response to the sound is a prophetic action. We may not see the imminent evidence of outpouring, at least the abundant rain, but we are still called to respond to what we're hearing in the spirit realm. Many promises of God remain unfulfilled. Now, this is going to be really key for some of you in here. Many promises of God remain unfulfilled because we allow them to remain restricted to the spirit realm. Many promises of God remain unfulfilled because we allow them to remain restricted to the spirit realm. We don't take a prophetic step to translate a promise or prophecy to manifestation. I knew that was going to be key for some of you here. Let me carry on. We don't act like the promise can be fulfilled. Too often we receive a promise or prophecy and hope that manifestation is automatic. A promise or prophecy does not happen by default. It's your invitation to partnership with God. Now, That was gold for a number of you in here. And all of a sudden, a whole heap of things make sense, right? For promises and prophecies to manifest, there must be cooperation between heaven and earth. Holy Spirit and man. This is where every believer is called to operate as a praying prophet. At present, we're hearing the stirrings of Holy Spirit outpouring. We hear the sound of rain as people are prophesying of what God is doing and getting ready to do. So, what would you do with the sound of rain? Do what Elijah did. Assume the position. Elijah bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. So, there were some gems in there. We see this gap between a prophetic word being said and the thing manifesting. But we have a requirement to actually work with heaven to see that thing come to pass. For years, I remember being taught, just put the thing on the shelf. That's not working with the word. That's not working with the word of God. And Paul said to Timothy to take your prophetic words and do spiritual warfare with them. That wasn't sticking them on a shelf. It was doing some working with the revealed word of God, working with what Holy Spirit is saying, putting it to work and seeing the breakthrough. Okay? We're talking about prophetic intercession tonight. I'm linking it very strongly in with spiritual warfare because I see them go, they're just hand in hand. It's just the same thing. Thank you. If you just take a seat, that would be great. You know, good warfare is based on good intel. Okay, some of you might want to write that down. Good warfare is based on good intel. We have got good intel from the Word of God. We looked at some of the scriptures as we started. We have got good intel just based on the Word of God. We also can get, there's a number of ways you can get good intel. I'm just going to look at three briefly. So the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Bible, all right? Making that very clear. How about previously revealed words? So as in prophetic words, decrees, things that have been revealed and spoken over the nation. What did Smith Wigglesworth have to say when he was here? What did different people in the past prophesy and bring? So I'm talking about previous prophetic words, a good intel to do spiritual warfare with. Okay, that was the second thing. And so next time when we meet with Anne here, and I'll be here as well, but she's going to share about a powerful prophetic word that of somebody who didn't know her at all and brought this incredible word for her and for the nation and how that's beginning to unfold. And that is military intel, okay? That's intel. It's really good intel, okay? So the third thing is current revelation, visions and dreams. When we're sometimes in worship, sometimes in prayer, and you just begin to see things and you begin to pray into them, that's current revelation and intel. And those times can be amazing, absolutely amazing. And we're going to practice some of that tonight when we experience like higher realms of revelation in prayer. Wes, can you come and share what happened at time with the church intercession?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, this was quite a number of years ago. We were in a real crisis situation as a church. There was a faction that was unbeknown to us at the time, planning some things to hire a building and to have meetings and to basically it had the potential to completely split the church and possibly to do irreparable damage. So there was a one particular afternoon, morning, I don't know what time of day it was, but Janet and I were both praying, and Janet just ended up on the floor going into a whole visionary time, and this is where God uses this aircraft imagery with us sometimes, aircraft carrier imagery. And so and she went into this vision phase, and I was with her, I was praying, and I was listening to what she was saying, and she said, I see the hull of an aircraft carrier, and I believe it's the church, and I see missiles having been launched at close range. See, one of the biggest threat to an aircraft carrier is missiles being launched at close range. Aircraft carriers have incredible ability to jam signals, to control the atmosphere around it, but one of its big threats is if a submarine can get in at relatively close range and fire from close range. Pardon? Torpedoes. Did I say missiles? Yeah, torpedoes, sorry. So and so she was saying that there's missiles have been fired, or torpedoes have been fired. So I'm there, and I'm taking that intel, and I feel this grace come upon me, this anointing come upon me, and start warring against these things, these agendas that have been fired in the realm of darkness against the church and against the mission of the church, and against just the life of the church. And so in the name of Jesus, I'm destroying these incoming agendas that would have potentially sunk the church. And I remember at the time, it was so intense. But it felt so very powerful, and it felt so very effective. And that probably went on for half an hour. I can't remember the exact time frame, but all I know is this: there was this great sense of urgency, great sense of empowerment that we could deal with these things in the spirit. And then we found out a little while later, within a couple of days, that there had been an agenda, there had been some things being worked, but then there'd been a significant change, and the thing was just the plans were laid aside. And I'm totally convinced to this day that God actually gave us Holy Ghost intel. We were able to pray in the Holy Ghost and deal with those demonic agendas that were arrayed against the life of the church. So that was just one of those situations.
Thanks, honey. We're just sharing some of our experiences because it helps you to understand some of the dynamics, the things that go on that can feel very strange at the time, but then the results are just incredible if you dare to flow with the Holy Spirit, to flow in prophetic intercession. Not just praying like from your head, but actually stepping into a place in the Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, show me. Open up. Let me see what's really going on here. I had one day I routinely prayed. We were down in Cromwell and living in Cromwell at the time. Routinely prayed for unsaved family members. And on this particular morning, I got to one family member and I just began to wail. Like I doubled up and I just began to wail. I had no head knowledge as to why I was wailing, but honestly, I was like sobbing and trying to gasp for breath. I was crying so hard. 2 days later, that person who I'd not seen for years knocked on my door, standing there with tears streaming down their face. God came upon me with prophetic intercession for that family member in such a powerful way that just shifted that person right back into the will and purposes of God. Tonight we're going to pray. When I was over with Patricia King, we did this wonderful exercise. There was Women on the Frontlines conference coming up. And what she did was she gathered us, she taught about prophetic intercession. And then we began to pray into different areas of the event, but not just like head knowledge, go through the list, but rather waiting on God in small groups, waiting on God and asking Him just to take us in. So for instance, Lord, just take us into the venue right now. Is there anything in the venue? Now, we've taught here about words of knowledge and how you can scan, and Colleen, this came from your teaching, how when you're learning to flow in a word of knowledge, you can imagine a person standing in front of you, and it's like in your mind's eye, you scan down the body and see whether God brings any emphasis to some part of the body. Just as you're in your mind, you're just going through and thinking, oh, left shoulder, why does that kind of look like it's glowing? Is there somebody here who's got an issue with their left shoulder? And It can be that easy. Same thing when you're praying and interceding into like an event coming up. You can go into, in your mind's eye, you go into the room, into the venue, and Lord, is everything okay? And you see the sound desk. Is everything okay? And you just begin to scan the room and see where the Holy Spirit highlights anything to you. If he does, then you begin to pray into that and allow him to lead you. Now, what we're going to do, we have got Larry Sparks here on Wednesday. Right? What a great activation and practice time we can have right now of pushing into the Spirit, going into small groups, and actually in the Spirit, in prophetic intercession, begin to go through some different areas that need prayer and prayer covering. We're just doing a checkup in the Spirit. And we can pray and take authority over anything that we feel is out of order. Now, Larry spoke, we've seen that clip, what he had on his heart. He has on his heart that Holy Spirit will pour out in an unusual way. That will there be a fresh level of impartation, that we will become carriers at a whole new level of effectiveness, and that we're to pray into expectation in the people, that there'll be an expectation. So there's some things to pray about to start with. But that also means when you've got visiting ministry coming in from overseas, they're paying their own way. They have New Zealand. They have Christchurch on their heart. That is why they are coming. They are coming on a godly agenda. They see this as being very serious. So we need to have an expectation on our heart as to why God is sending them. Come on, let's get things lined up here. He's not sending them just to say a couple of nice words and go. God has actually called them to come here because there is a shift about to happen. And he is sending his anointed instruments, his anointed ministers to come and to help bring that alignment for the shift and the breakthrough that has been prophesying through the national prophets. Come on, this is what this is about. All right, so this is an important event, and we have got the privilege tonight of actually gathering together in small groups and just going through and making sure, just scanning in your mind, Lord, Holy Spirit, just show me, is there anything that's uncovered? Is there anything that's not quite in alignment? Is there anything that we need to pray into? Are there any plans of the enemy to try and disrupt this? Okay, so I want you to get into a group. I think of around about five people is probably comfortable. And then I'm going to give you the first thing that we're going to target. And we'll all tie all together, and then we'll move on to something else. And we'll just keep going through a few things. Okay, all good with that? And those of you who are here from other churches, please just that'd be lovely. Some backing music would be great. Please just utilize this for any events you've got coming up in the city. Anything. You can do this for Sunday morning meetings. Five is not some magic number. If you can only find three. But just four or five is quite a good little group to get into a good flow together. Give me a wave if you're not in a group. You're pretty sorted, are you? Be bold, just push in if you're feeling out. You might need to get out of your seats so that you can sort of face each other, move around. Now, just as I said before, the venue, pray into the venue, all right? So what I want you to do is we're just going to wait on the Lord for a minute, and just in our mind's eye, just scan around. You might need to go as a group. Something or some things may come up in your group, and you need to actually move to the sound desk and lay hands on it and pray. I give you full permission to get up and move as a group and pray into certain areas in the venue if you feel things highlighted to you. So right now, Lord, thank you, Father, for spiritual intel, Lord, for warfare intel right now, Lord, for this event. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are sending Larry and Miriam, Lord God. Father, thank you for your anointing upon them. Lord God, thank you that you're sending these gifts to us. Right now, Lord, help us to prepare this place ready for a visitation, for your move, for everything you want, Lord. Pour out, Lord, pour out, Lord. Let us see right now, Lord, in the Spirit, anything that needs to be covered right now in Jesus' name.